Well, good morning. Time for us to get started. Thankful we can come together this morning and worship the Lord. Brother Bill is going to have our class this morning, and Brother Blake is going to have our lesson from God's Word. Brother Denton will have our class prayer, and then we'll turn it over to Bill. Denton.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thank you, dear Lord, for this beautiful day that you've given us. Praise your name. Thank you for this opportunity to come together to learn more of what you will for us. Help the instructor guide our minds and help us retain that we may take what we have learned out into the world and use it to win more souls for you. Please be with us throughout this day. Guide us that we may always be thinking of what you will for us. Help us always to concentrate on what you want and not what we want. May you be with us throughout our days. Go down the paths of life with us. Guide, guard, and direct us, correct us, protect us. But in the end, dear Lord, please save us, that we may live with you forever in heaven. May you be with all those that are ill at this time. May your healing hand be upon them. There are so many of us that are getting up in age that our health is failing us. Please, please, dear Lord, be with us. These things we pray, dear Lord, in your Son's most holy name. Amen.
Brother Chris will have the mic if you have a comment you'd like to make, and we hope that you do, because it's much better than listening to me all the time. So please comment as you would like to. And if you have a short comment, one or two words or a short sentence, why, I can repeat those. If not, ask Chris to bring you the mic. My voice doesn't always carry the best, so if you can't hear me, again, let me know, and I'll try to speak up a little better. So today I'd like to begin looking at a few of the Proverbs. We'll look at all of them, of course. It's a long book. It would take us a long time to do that. But we'd like to look at a few of them for the next few weeks. Who wrote most of the Proverbs? Solomon, okay. Son of David. His mother was Bathsheba. What did it say about Solomon when he was born? One thing that kind of stands out. It says God loved him. God loved Solomon. And that led Nathan to give him another name, didn't it? What did Nathan call him? Jedidiah. Jedidiah. That means beloved of God. That's all recorded in 2 Samuel, the 12th chapter, verses 24 and 25. What age was Solomon when he came to the throne? 'Well, that's what I would have said, too, because I don't know. I couldn't find what age he was. We know he reigned for 40 years, but the exact age he was, we know some things about that. David describes him as young and inexperienced. That's in 1 Chronicles, the 29th chapter, verse 1. And also later on, when God appeared to Solomon in a dream at Gibeon and granted to Solomon the wish that he had, what did Solomon ask for when God says, "What would you like?" He asked for wisdom, didn't he? And one of the things that Solomon said when he was replying to God was, I'm young. I'm just a child. So we know that he was could have been fairly young when he came to the throne. And so God granted the wisdom to him, and we'll read about that a little bit later on. Most of what I want to say about Solomon we'll find in the book of Kings, 1 Kings, of course. The 1 Kings, the third chapter, verses 1 through 14. If you want to follow along with some of those, we'll read about the first thing that Solomon did that led kind of to his downfall. What did he do first? Yeah, he took a wife from Pharaoh's daughter. And from then on, David, you know, kind of went down that path. This was kind of the first error in judgment that Solomon had. But he says that he loved the Lord. He walked in the ways of his father David, except he sacrificed in the high places. The Lord appeared to Solomon and asked him what he would like to give him. And Solomon replies, Give me wisdom with great humility. You had given me to sit on the throne of my father David, even though I am but a child and do not know how to govern this great nation of yours. So give me also an understanding heart to judge your people and to be able to know good and evil. So it pleased God that Solomon asked for this, did not ask for great wealth or long life or revenge against his enemies. So God says, I will give you the wisdom more than anyone before you or after you. No man before you or after you will have the wisdom that you have. And I will also give you riches and honor more than any other of the kings of your day. So you're going to be rich more than any other kings also, besides the wisdom that I will give you. And he promises Solomon long life if you will keep my statutes and the commandments as your father David did. So this is the exchange between God and Solomon when he was granted wisdom and riches over in 1 Kings, the 6th chapter, in verse 1, we find that Solomon began to build a temple. Why did Solomon build a temple? Not David. It seemed like David would.
David was a warrior.
And God said that he had blood, I believe, on his hands. And so God said, you will not be allowed to build the temple, but your son Solomon will build the temple. And this begins in 1 Kings, the 6th chapter, in verse 1. He begins to build the temple. Over in 1 Kings, the 8th chapter, and this is where Solomon dedicates the temple. After he had built it, he dedicates the temple with a prayer. And down in verses 44 of that chapter, 44, still Solomon is speaking here at the dedication. Beginning in verse 44, I'd like to read a few verses there. 8:44. When your people go out to battle against their enemy, wherever you send them, and when they pray to the Lord toward the city which you have chosen, and the temple which I have built for your name, then hear in heaven their prayer and their supplication and maintain their cause. When they sin against you, for there is no one who does not sin, and you become angry with them and deliver them to the enemy, and they take them captive to a land of the enemy, far or near. Yet when they come to themselves in the land where they are carried captives and repent, and make supplication to you in the land of those who took them captive, saying, we have sinned and done wrong. We have committed wickedness. And when they return to you with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies who led them away captive, and pray to you toward their land which you gave to their fathers, the city which you have chosen, and the temple which I have built for your name. Then hear in heaven your dwelling place for their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause, and forgive your people who have sinned against you, and all their transgressions which they have transgressed against you, and grant them compassion before those who took them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they are your people and your inheritance, whom you brought out of Egypt, out of the iron furnace, that your eyes may be open to the supplication of your servant and the supplication of your people Israel, to listen to them whenever they call to you. For you separated them from among all the peoples of the earth to be your inheritance, as you spoke by your servant Moses, when you brought our fathers out of Egypt, O Lord God. So this is the conclusion of Solomon's prayer at the dedication of the temple. And he had a view to the things that would happen later on to the chosen people of God, that they would sin, that God would allow them to be taken captive, that their enemies would rule over them for a time. And Solomon prays, when they come to themselves, they repent and they return to you. Grant them your compassion, your forgiveness, because they are your people. They are your inheritance. So Solomon shows his great wisdom and understanding here for the people of God when he voices this prayer for them. God appears to Solomon a second time in Gibeon. This is recorded in 1 Kings, the 9th chapter. And this is from verses 1 through 9. God promises to Solomon again that he will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever, God says, if you obey and keep my commandments. So this is repeated several times to Solomon about being obedient. And not only to Solomon, but this was the thing that God said to his people from the very beginning. You are my people. You are chosen. I have chosen you. But you need to keep my commandments if you are to be my people. He will establish the throne over Israel forever if you obey and keep my commandments. But if not, then the kingdom will be taken away. God fulfilled his promise to Solomon to give him great wisdom and understanding. This is recorded in 1 Kings, the 10th chapter, verses 23 and 24. So King Solomon surpassed all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom. And all the earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. So the promise that God made to him to give him great riches and wealth, and he had it, and people sought him out because of his great wisdom. We find the downfall of Solomon recorded for us in 1 Kings, the 11th chapter. 1 Kings, the 11th chapter, and this is verses 1 through 13. I'd like to read those verses. They're very, very important here, I think, as we think of Solomon. Chapter 11, verse 1. But King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites, from the nations of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, you shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn your hearts after their gods. And Solomon clung to these in love. And he had 700 wives, princes, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. For it was so when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. For Solomon went after Ashereth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and did not fully follow the Lord, as did his father David. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh and the abomination of Moab on the hill that is east of Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the people of Ammon. And he did likewise for all his foreign wives who burned incense and sacrificed to their gods. So the Lord became angry with Solomon, because his heart had turned from the Lord God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, but he did not keep what the Lord had commanded. Therefore the Lord said to Solomon, because you have done this, and have not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom away from you and give it to your servant. Nevertheless, I will not do it in your days for the sake of your father David. I will tear it out of your hand of your son. However, I will not tear away the whole kingdom. I will give you one tribe to your son for the sake of my servant David and for the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen. So this was the downfall of Solomon, which began with the intermarrying of the daughter of Pharaoh, but continued on. He married many wives of the nations that God said, no intermarrying with them. Have no association with them because they are idolaters, and they will turn your heart away from that also. The consequences of Solomon's sin, recorded here for us in verses 11 through 13, the kingdom would be taken away, not in your days, not in the days of your kingdom, but in the days of your son, for the sake of your father. I will hold off on doing this until it will be done in your son's kingdom, when it's given to him. But not all of the kingdom will be taken away. One tribe will be given to your son. So why didn't God take all the tribes? Why did he allow one to remain?
He knew the lineage of
Jesus. Yeah, had to have the lineage of Jesus, didn't he? Judah was allowed because the lineage of Jesus needed to be preserved. So what are your comments down through this? We've talked about Solomon some, and what are your comments on these?
As wise as he was, he didn't do what God asked.
Yeah. As wise as he was, he was not wise enough to follow God and obey his commandments, was he? He had a lot of wisdom, but allowed his heart to be drawn away.
I think one thing, instead of trusting God, he tried to, when he started out marrying Pharaoh's daughter, it was probably, he thought, a good idea. With all his wisdom, he thought it was a good idea to make these alliances to keep his kingdom safe. But then after a while, everything gets so easy, he just gradually kept doing this and turned his back on God. But I think it began because he left his trust in God and what God said.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe God didn't really mean this,
Yeah. And as we look at some of the Proverbs, we'll kind of touch on that too, that his trust and faith in God did not remain strong. And Solomon talks about that in some of the Proverbs that we'll look at.
Was the downfall because he married, or was it because he disobeyed and married, or both?
Yeah, I think it'd be both. God told all of the children of Israel not to intermarry with them. So that was the first thing that he did. And then from then on, it was because they drew his heart away from God and into idolatry. So, and that's the way sin, isn't it, starts. We do something, and then, well, that's not so bad. We'll just continue on, and then it's easier then as we seems like, as we go along. It's easy to sin more. I couldn't find anything in the scriptures that specifically said that Solomon repented. Although, as we look at Ecclesiastes, there's some verses in there that kind of indicate that maybe he certainly realized that the life that he was leading was not the life that was fulfilling for him. Some of the Proverbs that Solomon wrote, and it says that he wrote around 3,000 Proverbs. What are Proverbs? What does Proverb mean? We don't use that word very much today. What does Proverbs mean? A pithy saying. Okay. So that means kind of condensing wisdom and experience down into a short verse. What does pithy mean? We don't use that word very much anymore either. We'll just keep going here with this. Well, pithy, I looked up in the encyclopedia that I have. It's a Britannica. It's old, but it's still pretty good. Pithy means forceful and effective, according to the Britannica dictionary. I didn't know what it meant, so I looked it up. It means forceful and effective is what pithy means, according to Britannica. Now, you can argue with Britannica if you want, but that's this is an old dictionary. But so anyway, that's what we'll be looking at, pithy sayings, condensed sayings, and sayings that are effective and forceful. He said these things, and they're effective for us. The wisdom we got to keep in mind here, although Solomon had great wisdom, the wisdom of the Proverbs are the wisdom of what? God. Okay. The wisdom of God. Although Solomon wrote them, and Solomon had a great wisdom, but as we've already said, Solomon didn't follow the wisdom that he writes about in many of these things. He had the great wisdom, but he didn't keep it. He didn't consider it. So we consider here the Proverbs of what Solomon said. They are of God, but not what Solomon did. We want to keep those things separated from what Solomon said and what Solomon did. Solomon had great wisdom and knowledge, you know, above any man of the day, but he did not use it to follow God in the way that he should. He knew and understood, but he was led away of his own desires. He knew, he understood. God had talked to him two times and explained to him what he needed to do, gave him the wisdom and understanding that he asked for, but yet Solomon was led away of his own desires, and we'll talk about some of that in the Proverbs as well. So the wisdom that's written about here in Proverbs is the wisdom of God, and they are certainly applicable for us today as we look at some of these. So I'd like to turn over to Ecclesiastes and read the conclusion of Ecclesiastes there. Gives us a little bit of an idea of, let's see, chapter 9, if I wrote this down right. Which I didn't write it down right. Chapter 12. Chapter 12, verses 9 through 14. This is the whole duty of man, which we've read many times. Beginning in verse 9. Moreover, because the preacher was wise, the preacher was Solomon, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright, words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. And further, my son, be admonished by these. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. So that's an indication to me, at least, that Solomon did repent. He certainly realized as he sought out the things of the world and spent great wealth and time and energy and money in the things of the world. And she certainly realized that those were not the important things. So, so let's begin some of the Proverbs. And we'll just begin at the beginning. It's always a good place to begin. Chapter 1 of the Proverbs, verses 1 through 7. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So here Solomon, as he begins the Proverbs, he gives us some of the reasons that he decided to write some of these Proverbs down, so that they would allow people to know wisdom, instruction, understanding, justice, judgment, equity, which means fairness, prudence or forethought, knowledge, discretion, for the young and for those that are unlearned. And Solomon says the wise will hear. And not only hear, but they'll act on it. They'll do it. To increase in learning, to increase in understanding, the wise will seek the counsel of the wise so that they might get wisdom from other people. They're willing to listen to the others that have wisdom. Be able to understand the Proverbs and enigma, which I had to look that up too. It means puzzles and riddles, Solomon says. So as we look at the Proverbs here, we see that Solomon says they contain wisdom. They contain knowledge, understanding, instruction, judgment, justice, and discretion. All of those things are contained in the Proverbs. So those are all worthy things that we consider. They're good for us, right? They're good for us. Verse 7 then gives us two paths that a person could follow to fear the Lord and gain knowledge, or act as a fool, despise wisdom and instruction. So what does it mean when we say fear the Lord? What's included in the fear of the Lord?
Love
and obedience.
Respect.
Okay. Reverence. We reverence God. Devotion, yep. All of those things are tied up in the fear of the Lord. So when Solomon says, fear the Lord, gain knowledge, if you don't, if you despise wisdom and instruction, then you act like a fool. This concept is repeated as we'll look at some of the other Proverbs. It's repeated several times. Without this fear of the Lord, there is no true knowledge or wisdom, is there? Someone have a comment?
I had another aspect that maybe maybe it's already been said with all the other things that were said about what is tied up in, what were we talking about? Fear of the Lord.
Fear.
Faith.
Yeah.
Just faith, which is another way of, well, it's used another way to say trust.
Yeah.
That we trust him and have faith in what he tells us.
Yep. Yep. Very good. And we're going to look at some of the Proverbs that talk about that very thing that you mentioned there, Chris. So, as we look at the examples of Solomon, he's one we've talked about, when he married women from other nations, and God told him not to, do you think Solomon feared the Lord? Didn't. We look at his actions, and we can certainly see that he did not have fear of the Lord the way that he should. When he began to worship other gods, began to worship idols, did he reverence God? No. So we can see by his actions that he did not. When he sacrificed to the detestable idols of the day, and some of them were very, very detestable idols, did he respect God? No, he didn't. Not by his actions, did he? So we can draw a conclusion then that when fear and reverence and respect for God are gone, then wisdom and knowledge and understanding and obedience are gone also. That's a conclusion that we can draw from that. What God required of Solomon, he requires of us also, doesn't he? He requires that we fear him, that we respect him, that we honor him, that we obey him, that we keep his commandments, and that we walk in the ways of God. Those are things that he repeats many times, God, to the children of Israel and to Solomon and to us. It applies to us very well today. Okay, what are your comments on those verses? 1:1-7.
I think a bit of an obvious one is it's something that we should all probably look to more often, and more people should, as a basis for how to live our lives. To first and foremost, fear the Lord and have faith in him and all his works. And stop worrying about so many things that are in the world and made of the world that lead us astray.
And that was part of Solomon's downfall, wasn't it? That he was tied up in many things of the world.
Example of empty statements that you can't really misunderstand.
Yeah, part of the definition of pithy is effective, isn't it? They are effective. They're pretty plain, hard to misunderstand. Hard not to understand. Very good.
I have a note in my Bible that Proverbs is vertical instruction for horizontal living.
Yeah, vertical instructions for horizontal living, yeah. That is pretty well sums it up, doesn't it? Yeah. Very good. Okay, anyone else? Okay, let's go to chapter 2. Verses 1-10. Chapter 2, 1-10. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield for those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity and every good thing. When wisdom enters your heart, and knowledge is pleasant to your soul. So, those verses there, the first thing that Solomon says is to receive it. So, if we read it, we ponder it, we understand it, but we don't take it into our heart, we don't receive it, really won't do us much good, will it? Take it into your heart and mind. Treat it as a treasure. A treasure. in our thoughts, in our actions, in our words, and in our deeds, and that they penetrate, that they we take them in, that they penetrate down. Some ways to do that, Solomon says, and they require effort. First of all, he says, incline. When we're listening to somebody and we're just kind of leaned back and relaxed and not really paying too much attention, but if we're really interested, we're leaning into it, aren't we? We lean into it. That's what Solomon says we need to do. We need to lean into it. Incline. Incline your ear. Be attentive. Let it in. Let it into your heart and then apply it to our hearts, to our understanding. Take God's commands into our hearts, His ways, and His statutes. Verses 3 and 4, yeah. Okay.
I think through what we've gone through right now, that Solomon was listening, but he wasn't hearing what he was saying.
Yeah. Solomon listened. He knew and understood, but he really didn't take it into his heart to obey it, did he? Yeah, which is what we got to do. We got to take it in. We got to obey it. Follow what God said. Verses 3 and 4 both begin with the word if. If you cry out and lift up your voice for discernment and understanding, we let it be known that we are seeking wisdom and understanding. And how do we do that? How do we let it be known?
Yes, God.
In prayer. I think that's the one main thing that we would consider, that we let it be known. We're seeking, and we do that in prayer to God. And he says also, if you seek it as something that is great value, as silver or hidden treasure, we would take great effort to do that, wouldn't we? We would do it diligently. We would have interest in it. We'd be wrapped up in trying to find this hidden treasure or silver, something of great value. God said, my words and my commands. If you do that, then you will understand the fear, the respect, the reverence of God. To obey, and then you will find the knowledge of God. Because it comes from God. God gives wisdom, and from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. Where do we get this today? From His mouth. In the Word, yeah. The Word that we have is where we can get the knowledge and understanding, the commands that we are to follow. My words and my commands, back to verse 1. It's through the Word of God. So, do you have comments on those before we go on? Ed. And then John.
When we started reading this, I thought of how closely this relates to Job. If we read the things that he did, and, he made a covenant with his heart. He kept all the things that the Lord commanded, and he was good to the poor. He defended the helpless. He judged the high and the mighty with equity and the low with compassion and understanding. And the Lord himself said that if the righteousness of Job and Noah and I forgot the third one. Daniel would not save this nation. So those are the people who practiced and let it closely guide their actions.
Yeah.
And the principles that they live by and, how to get along with your neighbor and stuff like that, being equitable and fair and not swayed by wealth or power, or you just do what's right.
Yeah, very good. Thank you. Appreciate that.
I'm not sure how I want to express this, but I think of two things. I think of intelligence and common sense. I've known people who were quite intelligent, seemed wise. They had no common sense. And I think that the kind of wisdom that we seek in God's kingdom should impart to us a better common sense.
Yeah. Yep, I agree with that. Sure enough. Ed has a comment, too, when you...
A lot of times wisdom gets perceived or is perceived as something that's difficult to find, that we have to access something, you know, it's like esoteric or something that we have to search and seek for with difficulty in finding it. And one of the things that we see here in Proverbs is... it's not hard to find. We have it. You know, if you back up into chapter 1, it personifies wisdom as a woman standing in the street corner, in the corner streets, calling aloud. Right? So she's out in the open. It's easy to find. And even when you look at these verses here in chapter 2, it's talking about if you seek. It talks about it as something that's valuable, but it doesn't talk about it as something difficult to find.
Yeah.
And so... accessibility isn't an issue. The issue is just us lending our ear to it. But
yeah.
It's here. It's easy to find. We just have to incline ourselves to it.
Yep. Very good. Thank you. Yep.
I was just going to say that wisdom is fine, but understanding is greater. That's what we're going to find in Proverbs. And with all your wisdom, get understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And somewhere it says, one word spoken with understanding is better than, I don't know, 1,000 words of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, and I think prudence is a good word there for a balance between wisdom and understanding. And you know, you can go to any university, you can go to a state park, and you hear these people with authority and kind of arrogance speaking about the billions of years it took for our Earth to come about and how man evolved over millennia and so forth. And they are the wise. And I think Paul said something, I came knowing only Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now that's understanding.
Yeah.
That's, because that's the center of it all, is Jesus Christ. And so to know the Lord and like Solomon had all this wisdom, but yet he acted like a fool his whole life almost. You know, I hope he repented. And but that's the difference. And I think, you know, insight and all this is useless unless it leads you to Jesus Christ.
Yeah, very good. That's what it comes down to for us today. That we look at the Proverbs here that were written years ago. But that's what it comes down to for us today, for sure. Yeah, Jerry?
James says, if any of you lack wisdom, then you ask of God.
Yeah.
He gives it liberally to us.
Yeah.
And we'll ask in faith.
Yeah. Yep. Very good. And that's what Solomon says here. If you let it be known, if you lift up your voice seeking for it, and I think that's in prayer. We do that we make known to, that we're seeking, that we want to know.
I think when we look at Solomon, we can see that perhaps he had a lot of wisdom. He just didn't understand how to use it.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to once you attain the wisdom, you have to put it into practice.
Mm-hmm.
And I've often thought of in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 24, where I often think of Solomon, where he said, it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter into heaven.
And Solomon let his riches and power and wealth, I think, get in the way of his obedience, didn't he? Yep.
I like the reference to the book of James. You know, in James, like Jerry said, ask for wisdom and God will give it to you. And then the rest of James is action. It's the understanding that you should get from wisdom. And so that kind of, they go hand in foot, and one's not very good without the other.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's all practical, isn't it? And James, from then on, it kind of goes with what John said, common sense to know and understand and follow it. So appreciate your comments today. We're out of time, so we'll, Lord willing, pick this up sometime, I think in 2 weeks maybe. We have Brother Rick with us next Lord's Day, so it'll be a couple of weeks. But appreciate everyone's comments today. Thank you.